You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the How to Hunt Deer podcast. I always have to pause just for a second. Okay, what podcast am I recording for today? Okay, yep. The How to Hunt Deer podcast. I'm Dan. This is Jason. Jason, how are we doing today?
Yeah, not too bad. I think I'm pretty much wrapping up for the year here. I think this week is going to be the last of the decent weather for me to get my landscaping stuff done. So. And we got Thanksgiving. So, you know, kids don't have school Wednesday or Friday or Thursday, obviously. And then, a couple holiday things here. So yeah, just kind of getting geared up for my winter jobs and going from there. So basketball for the girls ended yesterday for the fall season. So we get a little break from that. First tumbling competition was yesterday for the year. So we get to kind of move into that and then transition in January into, basketball for all five kids. So that'll be a lot.
Yep. I feel you, man. We are full blown wrestling season, wrestling and dance right now. My daughter's in two dance classes. So she does that 2 days a week. Pretty cool. My daughter's a seventh grader and she has kind of been tapped by the girls' high school coach, where he feels she's good enough to come in and wrestle one or maybe 2 days a week in the high school room versus some of the varsity girls. So
cool.
I think that's in some way an honor. I don't know if my daughter understands how good of a opportunity that is, but if she's wrestling, you know, freshmen through seniors, I think the starting at her weight. Excuse me. I think the starting at her weight is a junior this year. So being able to wrestle someone 4 years older than you and feel that difference in power, I think that's only going to make her better for her own age group come time to wrestle at state this year. So that's what we're kind of doing. Like, I'll be honest right now, deer is kind of in the back of my mind. It's not even, I know it's hunting season and I know I feel like it's come and gone, but I know there's a lot left and we're going to get, you know, we're going to talk about that today, but it's all in the back of my mind right now.
Yeah.
I feel like there's other priorities I should be doing, you know, business and kids. And I don't know, I want to talk to you here a little bit about, you know, the firearm seasons and the rest of the seasons that are coming up here in Iowa, but it's a weird year for me. The more involved I get with the kids and their activities and sports and stuff, the less I think about my own personal needs, which part of that is hunting. So,
I can agree with that a lot. I kind of had the same thoughts this weekend, you know, because Illinois shotgun season started Friday and I had a tag in two different counties here that I could have gone out. But really my only opportunity to go out would have been, I believe, Friday afternoon. The weekend was packed full of stuff and just the weather was warm. And it's kind of been one of those years in general where I didn't get super excited about the weather to hunt. And then the rut activity that I saw was pretty minimal compared to a lot of years. So for me, that combination with the kids and everything, it definitely paid a toll. So,
I'll tell you this. Let's do our commercials and then I want to get into the deer stuff. So what's our first partner that we need to thank?
Code Blue Sense. So I kind of want to go to just the proper care of the gear that I've been doing, you know, with the routine and using their detergents and their body wash and then spraying some of my gear down as I go in the field too. Code Blue Sense offers a lot of stuff. And with my decoy setup that I used to kill my buck this year, you know, I used a doe and estrus from Code Blue, and I used a buck urine scent with them too. So I think not just, you know, every time I talk about the rope-a-dope system and everything, which is a great system, and that gives me a lot of inventory on these deer, but using everything together, I think Code Blue has a lot to offer. So,
yep. Especially if you're that, you know, some guys aren't really focused on the scent control thing. But they got something for, like, if you want to be serious and you want to spray down before and after, you know, after every hunt, if you want to just do the laundry gig, if you want to, you know, maybe just hit yourself once or twice with something before you head out to the stands every other hunt, whatever, they got an entire scent control system. And then the attractants too, like the urines and the rope-a-dopes and things like that. So, go to Code Blue Sense. Yeah, I can't talk today. CodeBlueSense.com. Enter the discount code HTH20 for 20% off. What's next? Muddy, right?
Yeah, Muddy. Muddy DV8, and they have the Ambush series. And it comes in the Bottomland camo and stuff, which is really cool. And they offer, you know, basically head-to-toe boots, undergarments and everything. So I would definitely be checking it out, especially if you're, you know, into a certain camo pattern, or if you're just kind of looking for a one-stop shop. You know, I can get my base layers and I can get my outer garments and everything too. So I would definitely be looking into that.
Yep. And you can find that at gomuddy.com, and then you click on the footwear and apparel tab or link right there on their website, and it shows everything that they have. I haven't personally had my hands on it, but I've talked with the guys who have designed it and, over there at, Muddy, and they put a lot of thought and energy into their, you know, how they create their garments and the purpose and who they're for, you know, and the amount of money that the customers have to spend on it. So go check it out yourself, gomuddy.com. All right. I want to talk about November 19th specifically. All right. I know that was last week, right? I think. Let's see. Yep. So we're recording this on the 24th. This is going to launch on the 26th. So 1 week ago from when you were listening to this, I had the most buck movement, not just does. That was up too. But on November 19th, 1 week ago, I had the most buck movement in a 24-hour period on my camera. And if I, let me see if I can remember this on my cameras, three deer, 4 years and older. One of them was a 5 or 6 year old, like 4 3 year olds. And then like 10 bucks that were 2 years old and younger. Okay. And that was the day so far. I haven't had anything since. You know, you have a lot of guys talk about this time. The week of Thanksgiving has always been a really good, and that is one of those things that's based off date, not necessarily day of the year. Yeah. And so like if we were, I don't know, short 3 days in this week, then Thanksgiving would have been the previous week, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at here is that there was a ton of movement, and now since then it's trickled. And I haven't had any mature bucks on camera since, well, that would have been Saturday the 22nd. So something's happened in that. What do you think that is?
Well, so I want to argue this, but, yep. I had four cell cameras out at one point, and last week I had four active cell cameras and they were very minimal. So if I go back on my Reveal app here and I'm looking, I had three pictures. One was a bobcat and two were 2.5 year old bucks and younger. And that was it. for the 19th. The 18th, I had a couple bucks, but now if I fast forward to yesterday and today, one of my properties must have a doe that's in estrus because I have bucks coming out of everywhere. I literally, as you're talking and telling the story, I have a buck pop up on picture that I haven't seen, you know? So, I think the week of Thanksgiving has been great. In a lot of regards to you get that second cycle maybe coming in, going into leading into December. There's obviously does that haven't been bred, you know, but then there's obviously still bucks that are feeling the need to breed, you know. So as the weather starts to change and stuff too, their mindset changes also. So once they really get that switch of like, okay, I gotta eat, you know, then everything starts to change focus from the rut, estrus and everything down to food. So I really do think like the week of Thanksgiving is like the last hurrah as far as the rut, but it doesn't mean that you won't see a doe come into estrus the first part of December as well. So
And I've seen it. I've seen it in really heavy populations of does where one gets, you know, one gets by and maybe even a fawn comes in, you know, a yearling comes into estrus. There's that possibility too. There's still time is what I'm getting at for some, for activity. With that said, every day gets worse now as far as rut action. Every day gets worse than the day before as far as rut action is concerned. But I will say this. Now we start to get back into this bed to food pattern that I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but now we're starting to get into a bed to food pattern where weather plays a more important role and colder temps and even snow play a bigger role into deer movement and them grouping up. And what I'm curious in that I don't have the answer to this is what's going to happen with this giant acorn crop and what that's going to do for the late season if there's no snow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I just kind of couple thoughts. Thanksgiving has always been like one of my last morning hunts. My brother and I would always go out Thanksgiving morning and we'd make that the last morning hunt for the year. And then basically everything would transition into afternoon hunts, you know, and the later in the year you get, the less you want to sit because you're going to get cold and all that. So having proper layers and everything and proper gear is going to allow you to hunt those colder temperatures. Now going to the acorn crop, I think it depends on your area. You know, if you have standing corn or any vegetation that is above snowpack level, I think that's easier, obviously, for deer to consume. So, I mean, maybe they'll still browse through the woods, but if there's 6 to 8 inches of snow on top of acorns, that's a lot harder to eat than if it's a standing bean field or a standing corn field, especially where they can just walk out and pick it. Personal experience is you'll notice if you do get that snowpack, it is very, very easy to know where deer are bedding and feeding. I mean, they will 100%. Literally, they will put a billy goat trail in that field and they will tell you exactly where they're going. I'm one of the deer behind me that I shot, I think it was like January 8th one year, and there was a highway, but we had like 2 to 3 weeks of ice snowpack that they could not get through, but we had a standing cornfield. You know, so they would just literally come into that standing cornfield and then just playing the weather and knowing when that those deer were going to come in before dark. It was huge. So I think there's definitely opportunity, and it's one of my favorite times to hunt because if strategy wise, once you know where they're bedding and know where they're feeding, I mean, it's kind of just figure that point in between.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So every day we have deer movement from breeding kind of trickling back up. I still am seeing a couple solo does on the property. Yep. I don't know necessarily what that means. I don't think that they're hot because I feel like if I'm catching a doe on trail camera who's still in estrus, then I should be catching some bucks in that same area. But buck movement has just – but that doesn't mean that they're not there. I don't have a trail camera on every inch of my property. I'm just basing this movement in a couple of pinch points that I do have. But this hardcore searching and searching is kind of going away, right? Yeah. It's getting less every day. But I will say this, that 19th, when I had all those pictures of the deer, matches up historically perfectly. When I used to run trail cameras way heavier than I do now, I was getting that time frame from, I'm going to say the 24th, which is today. I would say the 17th, the 15th through the 24th is historically when I would have the biggest, most mature bucks on trail camera that I had not seen previous. Yep. To, you know, the season or summertime, you know, summertime velvet or whatever. So, what are you doing? Let's say you had a couple tags in your pocket right now. What would you be doing if you had no kids, no responsibilities, and you were going to be, you had this entire from the, this is going to release on the 6th. Let's go from the 6th to the 3rd, 26th through December 3rd. That's your window now. What are you doing?
Well, right now I looked at the weather and the weather looks pretty amazing as far as after Thanksgiving. I mean, we're going to drop 20, 25 degrees. We're going to get some snow. It looks like a couple weather patterns and stuff. So I'm going to be looking at not only a weather pattern, but is there a wind pattern? Is there a front? And what wind is going to be best for each scenario? And right now, this one property, I mean, it seems like the deer activity is phenomenal. And now I'll put myself, and I'll just say this too, being in Illinois, being that the gun season was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I didn't hunt that property, and I know no one else hunted that property. I know maybe more deer congregated to that because of outside pressure. So with that said, yesterday we took a drive home from the basketball tournament, and it was getting towards sunset, and we checked all these fields to see who was out gun hunting and everything, and then to see the deer populations. And lo and behold, as we're getting closer to home, it is standing at the edge of my woods are three big mature does. And it was kind of funny because for about 2 or 3 weeks now, I haven't seen anything in my woods. And I could pretty much monitor that pretty easy from home or from the road or from the cameras I got down there. So I think there's some of that goes into it too. If you're hunting in an area that has a lot of gun pressure, you may be able to back off as a bow hunter and wait for those deer to filter back in. And then when gun season, you know, slows down or, you know, takes a break or whatever, for like now, Illinois has this whole week where we don't have any gun season going on. I'm going to, towards the end, middle or end of the week, I'm going to try to get out in a stand, especially if I see something like a lone doe walking around or one of these surprise bucks on camera. Right. That's kind of my strategy right now. Towards the end of the week, it looks like I might have one afternoon I might be able to get out. So,
yeah, I'll say this. When it comes to strategy for gun hunting season, Iowa has a unique situation where we have a first and a second season shotgun. And I know guys who they have learned over the years that if they stay out of their properties during that first shotgun season, then the second season as it, cause it's a longer season. I believe let me see if I have it up here in Iowa, we have December 6th through the 10th, right? So 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, that's a 5-day season.
Yep.
There's a lot of pressure around them. And then the 13th, it kicks back up and we have a 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st. We have a 9-day season for shotgun. After that. But what they've learned is that if their neighborhood and all the surrounding farms go crazy the 6th through the 10th, then it just piles them in to their property the 13th through the 20th. I'm using today's or this year's dates for example. But if you have multiple gun seasons in a row, or you have one big long gun season, then maybe stay out of it for a while. Let your property that you have access to absorb some of this pressure, and then go in, maybe monitor trail cameras. And if you have food plots, I know guys who also do this. They've got their bow buck out of the way and they have one more gun tag that they can use and they save it for late season. Yeah. And if you have food, what you're doing is you're not hunting your properties at all. And maybe that's not real realistic for a lot of people. If you are a permission hunter, maybe there's other people. Like one of my main farms has, two groups of guys in each shotgun season. Okay, so we got a group of guy the first shotgun, and we have a big group that goes and pushes the entire property the second part of that season. And so the second season. And so basically what that does is it kicks everything off that farm. Right. Yeah. So I don't even bother with it late season, yeah. but they got to go somewhere. Right.
Right.
And so if you don't have any pressure on your property, then that might be a good thing. And then you pick up the muzzleloader. But as far as the next handful of days are concerned, man, I would slowly be getting back into that bed to food pattern. I'd be sitting in staging areas on the end of destination food. I would be driving around looking for any type of standing crop, even if it's just a field. Like what you've talked about before, you hunt a lot of field edges.
Right.
Big ag. If you see standing corn, I swear to God, deer are going to be coming back into that at somewhere. So even if there's no timber on that farm and it's just standing corn, I would knock on that landowner's door and just be like, hey, is it cool if I can maybe hunt in your field just until the crops are out? And a lot of guys probably don't get asked that question who don't have any timber.
Yeah. And I mean, a farmer, it might say yes on that just because that's less corn that's going to get destroyed too. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I think it was last Friday I was heading to a job and the road goes up and off to the one side, there was a standing cornfield and there was so much just wind damage and stuff. I looked over and I saw six deer standing in the middle of that field. I mean, just in the middle of it, you know, it's not close to an edge or anything, you know, so deer are still hanging up in areas like that and eating too, if it's available.
Yep. Yep. So now the other thing that we have to start talking about is cooler temperatures, right?
Yep.
Cooler temperatures now mean deer are bedded in different areas. Okay. We're not in that thick timber as much as they probably used to get rid of, you know, get away. And talk a little bit about what your experience is from like the term thermal cover and what that looks like for you.
Yeah. So thermal cover, I mean, to me, it's, I like to look for those tall grasses, those conifers, anything evergreen wise. If the winds aren't very high, I found that deer will bed out in open, thicker grasses in the sun, you know, on the south facing slope of a, say a prairie or whatever, mm-hmm. as long as the winds aren't high. If the winds are high, I see them tucked back into timber where it's edges of the timber that have the say junipers or, you know, pine trees, and they can get underneath that shelf and there's a little bit of wind block from all the extremes with that. And especially if there's moisture too, you know, those branches will hold a lot of weight before.
This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
They allow moisture to hit the animals too. It's a little bit drier underneath them. So if there's any sunlight that hits that forest floor, they feel warmer there too. But they're not going to be in those low pockets, those swampy bottoms and stuff necessarily. So.
Right. Now we're starting to talk about sunlight, right? And the effects of warming on sunlight. And this goes from pretty much now until the end of the season. It just gets more predominant towards the end of the season. But these deer are going to be trying to stay warm. So food and warmth are huge roles. And that's when I would say I see deer when I used to hunt the late season heavier than what I do now, I would start to see deer in unassuming spots, like CRP fields, just bedded in CRP fields on, what would it be, south-facing slopes.
Yep.
And so the south-facing slopes. So the deer are going to be in CRP, maybe huddled up against a cedar tree to try to block wind, or something that's a wind back. Or one thing that I used to see a lot, I don't see it anymore just because I feel it was the perfect scenario for this farm that I used to hunt, is anytime there was a north wind in a south-facing CRP field, they would be in a specific spot. And when you get down in there, you realize why they're there.
Yeah.
They're bedded in a spot where the stronger northwest winds blow over their back. And they can still smell what's coming down, but they're not in that direct wind line.
Yeah.
And then they can also get the warmth of the sun.
Yeah.
And I noticed how beds, especially when you're in like a shed hunting season, and I know I'm fast forwarding way far away now, but you go ahead and you start to see, why are these deer beds here right now? And sometimes there's snow on the ground and you see their beds in the snow. Well, they're there to get out of the wind. And usually some of these are around some thick cedars or in a fence line somewhere, but direct sunlight.
Yep. Yep. Direct sunlight. And I think, you know, the colder it gets too, you're going to see these deer hanging out closer to edges and stuff like that. They're going to be closer to food.
Yep.
The earlier they're going to come out to that food, the colder it gets too. Cause I mean, their number one thing is survival, you know? So they know at this point, especially some of these bucks that have been run ragged for a month and a half, 2 months now. I mean, they need to replenish it in order to survive, you know. Yep. And a doe, if she's been, nursing all year on some fawns, or fawns been nursing on her all year, and now she's pregnant again, she has to replenish a bunch too. So the deer are going to be on edge, but they also need to feed in order to stay full. So there's a double-edged sword with it too, especially if you haven't filled the tag right now. I mean, you definitely want to get in there and try to fill that tag. So you can look at it two ways. You can go in, you can try to get to a hot spot and you bump deer out. But just remember, the later in the season we get and we start bumping deer around, the less likely they are to come back.
I like that. That's a fact. So here's a little tip that I used to do back in the day. Sometimes it helped me, sometimes it didn't. I would drive around, I'd look for tower blinds because they tend to stick out from the road, okay? If there's a tower blind, that means that there's somebody there that focuses their attention on deer. And I'm not saying it happens every time, but I'm saying sometimes then you start to do some e-scouting, right? And then you see, oh, there's a food plot back there, maybe a standing cornfield or something like that, you know, when I'm doing my drive arounds. And then you go and you knock on the neighboring farms. You know that guy's going to say no to you already because he's got a tower blind in his property. But all of the surrounding, dude, I have got access to so much ground doing that back in the day. And when I say back in the day, I mean like 10 years ago. Yeah. Now it's a different game, but it's not impossible, right? Because a lot of times guys, once a farmer has their shotgun season roll through and they, let's say the landowner maybe is just in it for the shotgun season, or maybe they've got their bow buck and they don't really care about what's going on. And you're looking maybe just to fill the freezer with a muzzleloader or a late season kill, then you knock on their door and just be like, hey, listen, I'm just trying to fill the freezer with a couple does. I know you got them here, right? Uh-huh. Is there any chance? And I bet you that they might have a little bit more acceptance to let you hunt their farm. If that's, you know, if you're going, hey, I'm going to go kill the biggest buck, you know, obviously I have the conversation with them. What can I not shoot?
Right.
That would be a great conversation. And then for public land, man, this is where the public land game gets real interesting, because dude, it's just going to be dead late season. And I'm not saying that all public property is garbage late season, because there's some spots near me that have really good stand. They leave on the public land, they leave the corn in for the wildlife.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
With that said, you need a lot of snow to make that happen. But if you can find that on a neighboring farm and then get in there on public and just, even if it is a 100-yard crossing where they're going from one private piece to another private piece for standing corn or a good field in this December timeframe or this post-rut timeframe, man, the deer are going to start grouping up. And if you have a heavy population, you should be able to run into something.
Well, and I mean, the truth of the matter is we started talking about it at the beginning where, you know, like deer's in the back burner, you know, so for a lot of people after the rut, after the first gun season, after some of those things happen, the less people are in the woods, the colder it gets. First off, second off, a lot of people think that their odds go down drastically just because the rut's over. You know, it might require more work. It might require getting cold. It might require maybe walking and setting up another stand. But there is plenty of opportunity, and the same deer are still there. If they haven't been shot, they're still there. You know, so a lot of these areas, they do have great populations. It's just doing a little bit of research, either from the road, a little bit of e-scouting, or like you're saying, you know, if there's public ground that's been hammered all year long, but yet there's still standing food on it. If we get a week of, you know, 6 inches of snow has been on the ground for a week, that's all it takes for those deer to go find that food. They know where that food's been. They've been reserving it this entire time. So if you're on a neighboring farm or on that piece of public, I think that you could really capitalize on something like that.
Yeah. Here's what interests me, and I've never hunted this time frame. And so we have this week after Thanksgiving here in Iowa where the gun season in Iowa does not start until December 6th. But now we have the rut being over-ish, right? As far as the peak rut, I believe the peak rut is far from over. We're 2 weeks out. Even though I say the 19th, right? So that's 1 week ago is when that happened. But something happens when everybody kind of comes back from Thanksgiving and they're just kind of laying low until the gun season is over.
Yeah.
And I can't speak of any other, you know, maybe there's a gap between gun seasons, but December 1st, it's this year through December 5th. There's 5 days there where my guess is nobody is in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, because in Iowa, that's an archery season right there. That's part of the archery season. Dude, I feel like if you go in there, the woods are just dead. And that's when these deer start heavily shifting back into that bed to food pattern. I don't know. Thoughts?
Yeah. So, I mean, here in Illinois, we just had our gun season the 21st through the 23rd. So today is archery all the way up until December 4th. Starts the second gun season. So this week and the first part of next week, it's an awesome time to get in there, especially if you can give it a few more days on your properties. If you weren't gun hunting your property and the neighbors have pushed those deer in, man, I think by the middle, by about Thanksgiving, maybe even this weekend, you know, there's not going to be a lot of people going archery hunting. These are people traveling. I mean, was it Thanksgiving's right. Most traveled holiday of the year? So I would seem to think that 27, 28, 29, and you get into that first, second December, those 5 days might be awesome, especially if there's an unbred doe, if there's that second estrus cycle. You know, there's a lot that goes into that. The other time frame that I like here, especially in Illinois, is right around the 15th of December. It seems like there's a lot less pressure for one. Gun seasons have pretty much come to a close. Generally, we're getting into that late. We have like a late muzzleloader season, and then pretty soon we would get into late antlerless and CWD seasons. But around that 15th of December, it seems like there's a lot of deer that become more relaxed. And I think it's just because hunting pressure has just diminished.
Yeah. Have you ever run into a deer? I don't see it with does as much because I feel like they're always on point.
Yeah.
But have you ever run into like a bachelor group of bucks in the late season that just they just seem exhausted?
Yep.
And their heads are down and they're just wanting to go eat and then lay down and eat and then lay down.
Yep. So this deer, you can't see his rack, but he's up to my right. He was the one I shot January 8th. So I had actually missed that deer out of a tree stand. I think it was like 3 or 4 days prior to when I actually did shoot him. I had moved and set up a ground blind, and these deer were coming in every single night, every single night. It was a billy goat trail, and they were so worn out. They were just hungry. They were just, I mean, they would give you a half hour to an hour of daylight to shoot them in this standing corn. It was just being there in the right position with the right wind in order to make it work. And lo and behold, they did the same thing. And I mean, it really does take persistence and time in the stand and time in the woods, you know, but you do still have to play safe with, you know, wind and all those things. You can't just throw caution and forget about it. But
I think if they smell you, it's over. Yeah. But like, if they hear you, I feel like the late season, and as we get back into this, you can drive closer to your tree stands. Yeah. You can make a little bit more noise. And I'm not talking about the does right now, because I feel like, if anything, does are jumpy right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been through it. Not only have they been chased by every buck, but they've been pressured by gun seasons, and they're always on point, right? Because they get left alone, the bucks don't stop.
Right.
Right. And so after that, now we have a scenario where, we just have a scenario where they're just tired.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, especially the colder it gets, the more noises that happen in the woods. I mean, stuff's cracking and popping and all that. The only one noise that I would say that deer just absolutely hate is metal on metal, you know, so be cautious with your stands and stuff. And especially getting colder too, you want to make sure that you're careful with ice on your sticks or your ladders or any of that stuff, because you don't want to be having an accident in the woods. But I do agree with that. I've seen several bachelor groups of bucks. We get into that mid to late December and even into January where they're just worn out. They're not going to run as hard, and they're going to come out to food no matter what. Just play the wind smart, be cautious in there. And I think you could still, I don't want to say easily fill your tag, but man, some of this late season, it is, if you put your homework in, you'll see a lot of activity.
Yeah. Yeah. What else do we need to know about this next week or so? I mean, let's just run over a couple things, like decoys. Like I don't think decoys would probably work this time of year.
Yeah.
Calling probably is for the most part over.
Yep. I was going to say, like, decoying, I mean, generally for me, right around that 18th, 19th of December or of November is normally when I would say that's the latest I would decoy. I don't even feel anything remotely close about trying to lure a deer into a food plot by using a decoy this time of year. Yeah. Calling, if you're banging antlers together, you're just going to scare deer right now. You know, snort wheeze, they're not really that super aggressive right now. The only call that I would really even keep on me or use is just a simple grunt tube. And it's more or less just a vocalization of like, erp, I'm here. You know, nothing crazy. We're not tending does. We're not doing anything like that. And I think you can use the grunt call pretty much all season, but it's how you use it. Just simple vocalizations. So, and it may just be you see a deer out and you just want to kind of get his attention. Just, hey, there's other deer over here type deal. But you got to do that and coincide it with the wind and everything. So.
Right. I feel you. I think this is where, here's what I would do. Let's say maybe you had a busy rut. You didn't get out as much as you could. Now some time is freed up. I'm going to your property. I'm going to do whether that's public or private, I am going to do a very quick scouting mission. If there's, I'm looking for, I'm not even looking at sign like scrapes or rubs anymore. Yep. I'm looking at tracks in the mud or dirt. I'm looking for heavy crossings. I'm looking for standing food. And then I'm looking to get in between those spots.
Yep.
And I feel like now every single day, we're seeing more nocturnal movement, and deer are just kind of going back to that old bed to food pattern. I'm getting in the timber on one of those trails and I'm setting up. And that's now, if you have a gun, I'm doing it from the ground. If I'm getting like at that 70 yards away from the trail area type, you know, type distance, or depending on if you have a rifle, you can get further away. But I'm not necessarily going into betting at all. It's probably going to be an afternoon hunt, and yeah, I'm watching weather. And if it's hot, I'm staying out. If it's cold, I'm going in.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Yep.
Pretty simple.
Yep. And I'd say on the scouting missions too, you know, if you're using any sort of cell cameras or regular cameras, now's the time to be moving them, you know, because if you're out scouting and you see another heavy use trail over here, now you're pulling them off of scrapes. Now you're pulling them out of beds, and now you're actually trying to catch them from bed to food. So now's the time to be using your cameras, especially if you don't want to be so intrusive on your ground, or if you don't want to be getting cold multiple days in a row. Utilize the tools that you have and put the cameras in the right spots, and I think you can benefit from that too. So
there you go. Any final thoughts as we shut her down today? This was a quick one.
Yeah, I want to go back to like earlier in the year where I was talking about using my recurve, and I think this is maybe time to do that too. You know, if you guys have filled the tag and you still want to have fun, or you know, like my daughter, she hasn't had an opportunity to fill her tag yet. You know, I may still try to get her out as long as we can make it work with the weather and everything, so she doesn't get too cold. But there's plenty of season left. I mean, we have all of December here in Illinois, and we have, gosh, I think like at least 2 weeks in January in Illinois. So there's a month and a half of season in amongst the holidays, in amongst school days off and everything. Take the kids, you know, set them up in a ground blind, throw a little buddy heater in there, just have some fun with it. You know, it's getting towards the half end of the season here. So, I mean, if you do spook a deer, it's not necessarily the end of the world either.
That's a fact. I like that. Well, be safe, know your rules and regulations. You know, there's no need to get crazy this time of year. I think this time of year, run into less people out in the woods, unless it's during a major gun season. Make sure you're following all of the Blaze Orange laws. Yep. That's a big deal. And then outside of that, be safe.
Yeah.
Good vibes. Make sure you're reporting your deer. I'm even going to say this, make sure you're reporting any illegal activity, like hunting from the roads. If you're not allowed to hunt from the roads, poach, any type of poaching or illegal baiting that, is happening, that kind of stuff. Report all that shit, dude.
Yep.
I'm a tattletale when it comes to that shit. I'll tell anybody anything.
Well, and to that point, you know, following the rules and regulations, we get later into the season like that. There, like, especially here, there is a ton of different changes in seasons. We have gun seasons, we have muzzleloader seasons, we have late antlerless seasons, CWD seasons. We still have archery in the mix of all that. So make sure you know the dates on the stuff. Make sure you're wearing the orange when you're supposed to, you know, and make sure if you are taking your bow, you have the right tags and all the things. So just as Dan said, you know, follow the rules. Enjoy it. Still have fun. Get the kids out. Make sure you wear your safety harness. And don't forget that as it gets colder, as an archer, you still need to practice shooting your bow.
Yep, that's a fact. And that's a good way to end it, my friend.
Yep.
Good luck, Jason, if you get out. Good luck to everybody else. Do us a huge favor and go to iTunes or Spotify or wherever you download the How to Hunt Deer podcast. Give us a 5-star review. Let everybody know that it's a great, entertaining and educational podcast. Outside of that, good vibes, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
How many discounts does USAA Auto Insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.